Boss, copy all shot to boss.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks.
It's Freddie Youngblood again. Push out by Bartes. Well done!
Right here. Right now.
Welcome to FPL Kopi Talks podcast, where we chat about our perfectly unhealthy obsession that is FPL. I'm AVK, also known as FPL Folk on Twitter.
I am Lukman, and you can find me at FPL Kopi Talks on Twitter. We are recording this episode on the 11th of February at around 8 p.m. Singapore time. And in this episode, we'll be reviewing Game Week 24 and we'll be looking towards Game Week 25.
Also in this episode, we'll be talking about our double game week strategies for the next three game weeks, where we will have double game week 25, double game week 26, and also a small blank game week 27. So grab your beverage of choice, preferably kopi, and listen along to us.
But if you guys want like alcohol, it's fine, but we are halal here, so we'll stick to kopi. So
how are you feeling with our new intro music, Lukman?
Yeah, man, it's good, man. It's good. You want to shout out to your brother, yes, MBK from New Zealand, for doing the intro music. I mean, it's good, man, bro. Good one. Thanks for it.
Sick bits. Man. Credits to my brother for this hookup for the music.
If you like it, lah. Anyone like it? Just
if you don't know, the commentary is actually from two different games. One Liverpool game and one Arsenal game, just to represent both our.
Do you remember that Real Talk goal?
I personally don't remember it because it was when I was really young. But it's quite an iconic goal, so.
I don't remember that goal, to be honest, but yeah. Anyway, it's a shorter game week this time compared to the previous. Quick turnaround. Yeah, so how do you do this game week, bro?
I'm feeling really good this week. So I got my Matip call from my previous game week, and that really paid off for me, and I love it. And on top of doing well for fantasy this week, my team Arsenal edged out the scrappy win against Wolves this morning. So I'm quite happy that both FPL and my Arsenal align this week. Yeah, so I'll just go through with you my team really quickly. My team, I have I got.
Like how many points?
75 points this week. I got Ramsdale in goal with 9 points. I got Cancelo, Alexander Arnold with 7 points and 6 points each. I got Dalo with 2 points. And my main man, Joel Matip, with his first attacking return of this whole season with an assist. And mind you, it's not a jammy assist. It was a nutmeg assist by Joel Matip, and that assist gave me an additional 5 points, so I got total 11 points this week, including his clean sheet. I got Bowen with 11 points, De Bruyne as my captain with 22 points, Rafinha with 2 points, and my forward line was my disappointment this week with Ronaldo at 1 point, who came off the bench. Watkins with 2 points and King with 2 points. I got a green arrow today, so this week, so I'm quite happy with the
this week. As a non-Jota owner, right, when Matip got the assist, was it like a 50-50, like you can't really celebrate the goal because Jota scored?
So for me, I have two metrics basically, because Matip is basically brought in as my third Liverpool asset. I am probably going to get Salah in soon. So Matip is my third Liverpool asset, so I always compare. I have to compare my third Liverpool asset with both Robertson and Jota. So he managed to get 5 more points than Robertson, but 5 points less than Jota this week. But this transfer is for the next 3 game weeks, so we'll see how that turns out. I'm also like looking. Comparing it with like my other transfer, which I had in mind, which was Luca Dean for the previous game week. So I was looking to get him in until I was kind of priced out from him, basically. So I got Matip in too, so that I can fund my transfer from De Bruyne to Salah. Yeah, I got priced out from the Dean move, and it really worked out for me. Basically, there's no other cheaper defenders that scored more goals. Matip was the second highest scoring defender this week. So I'm really quite glad that Turn out that way, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm still a bit bummed that Jota got 16 points when I got only 11 points. But from a values perspective, it's all good, man.
Okay. So
how about your team?
So it was quite a bad week for me, because I mean the annoying part was I was 50-50 on either to captain Jota or Salah, and I got it wrong. There was like a 14 point swing, so it was quite annoying. So I got 60 points. My transfer was I brought in Eduard for Antonio, so that I wrote a transfer, so I have two transfers this coming week. So that was a failure because Eduard didn't start at all. But luckily Antonio didn't do anything also, so I guess it's not that bad. And long term, I mean I'm not liking the Eduard pick, but yeah, anyway, I got 60 points. I will just rattle to my team. I got Rambo in goal, Reguilón, Trent, Cancelo, Jota, Bowen, Saka, Bruno, Salah captain, King and Eduard. I had Broha on my bench with 6 points, but other than that, I mean, I almost went Jota, but I went a bit riskier and went on Salah because I really thought he would have started after Klopp's comment. So, but then we'll talk more about Liverpool game. He could easily hold in 30 minutes. He could at least got at least 2 assists one, and he had a stormer in 30 minutes. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it was a bad outcome, but I still think with that, if I knew he was coming on for 30 minutes, I think I would have still, I mean, I wouldn't have captained him, but I mean, even if he didn't start, right, which was a possibility, I wouldn't mind him coming on the team because we know what he can do in 30 minutes. I mean, last season, he came on and scored a hat-trick against Crystal Palace. And that could have happened this morning. So, you know, I'm bummed about it, but I guess the decision is fine.
Yeah, I just touch on a bit on Broha. It's just quite a frustrating a player to own. Every time you bench him, he scores.
Yeah,
seems like it.
Yeah, I think he's becoming like a first 11 player. I don't think he's a bench player for now. I mean, he played well. We'll talk about it later. But anyway, I mean 60 points is quite bad, considering the average is 50. I mean, that's the overall average, but I got a quite a big red arrow from about 140 to 190. I think that's quite a big red arrow, considering. I mean, if I captain Jota, it would be much different. Yeah. But that's an annoying part. But we move on.
I think for this game week, the captaincy was the one that decided whether you got a red arrow.
Yeah, actually, no. Actually, I was quite surprised a lot of people own Coutinho. That was the annoying. I thought Coutinho was like nobody owned, right? But then I realized so many people jump up for me in the mini leagues, right? Because they're Coutinho, which was quite surprising. I didn't realize how I expected it. But yeah.
But from a captaincy standpoint, I think the players who kind of perform this week, like Jota, like De Bruyne, those are the guys that were popular options.
Yeah. I was quite annoyed that KDB scored a stupid goal.
To be honest, I watched the Man City game and it didn't look he didn't look like scoring any time in the game now, basically.
That's the annoying part.
He wasn't advanced at all. He contributed a lot to how Man City played, but he was quite deep when he played.
And the goal he scored, right, is like Brentford did the same thing as Liverpool, you know, they're passing out from the back and then making a mistake. It's like carbon copy. So it's them or not. I don't know why they keep doing that. Brentford passing out from the back. Yeah. Anyway, let's transition. Let's which game you want to talk about first? I think we should talk about Arsenal first.
Arsenal, fresh off the
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about Arsenal first, man.
Okay, why don't you go first? Wolves nil, Arsenal 1. Big win for Arsenal.
Yeah, it's a big win because it's a scrappy win for us. If you watch the game, we went down to 10 men and we had I was just clenched the whole time when I was watching the last 15 minutes. It's difficult to watch at the end, but I think there's a lot of positives. To take from this game lah. Basically, I think Arteta made a really good move when we were down 10 men. He actually So, for those of you who didn't follow the match, Martinelli got two successive yellow cards for two fouls, basically.
What do you think of that? I never seen that before, actually.
Yeah. So I honestly I thought it was fair. The first one was a foul. The first tug at the when he was tugging onto the player at the throw-in, that was a foul. That deserves a yellow card, and he stopped the play from advancing for the second one. So I think rightfully he did get a red card, but it's quite annoying for him to get a red card because Arsenal blank in the next game week, and in 26 he doubles. Arsenal doubles.
So he was single. He was only single, right?
So if you have Martinelli on your team, you won't get that benefit of the double, basically.
Shout out to our mini league leader Shahir. he took out Martinelli like as though he knew that he was going to be sent off.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So what else do you get from the game?
Yeah. So when we went one man down, we had 10 men. Arteta actually swapped out Saka for holding, and I thought that was a really good move to manage the game, and retrospectively we managed to hold on to our 1-0 win, so I'm quite happy for that. I think the Arsenal defense is just so good, man. Like we have a lot of criticisms for Arsenal's January transfer window, but we forget how good of a summer transfer window that Arsenal really had. We have Ben White and Ramsdale that really I think without these two guys, right, Ramsdale and Ben White, we would not be in top four contention at all. Like we would have like dropped many more points than we would have in this season. So I think props to that signing in the summer. I think on top of those two, I think Tomiyasu also is another signing that's really solid, but he wasn't available this game week. Yeah, so. Arsenal defense is really good. I think it's really quite stable from what we see in the past few game past few seasons. I think in double game week 26, I think it's one to look out for. You should at least have one Arsenal defense for 26. That's my opinion. Yeah. Any thoughts from your side?
So basically, I was watching the extended highlights, right? So when I saw that, I was watching it without knowing the score. So when Martinelli got sent out, I was like, okay, Wolves is bound to score. It's like Arsenal, like, you know, the backbone weak and all, like down to 10 men. I was expecting Wolves to score. And I was surprised. It's quite surprising that they actually kept the clean sheet. But again, I mean, it's good defending. I mean, Arsenal show a lot of character and all that. But then at the end of the day, Wolves is probably one of the worst attacking sides in the country or in the league. So I guess that plays a part. A sharper team, I mean, would have capitalized on that 10 men. But I don't know, it's a good result for Arsenal. I mean, I want to say that Arsenal could double in 28 with Chelsea and also 29 with Liverpool. You know, I heard from the Liverpool sources, right? Liverpool could double in 29 with Arsenal. So just keep that in mind. Like, Arsenal could have a double. Then Liverpool's double would be Brighton and Arsenal. Yeah. But yeah, just keep that in mind. I mean, yeah, whether you have to do a free hit.
The frustrating thing about owning Arsenal assets right now is because I think they are blanking in 25. Then they have double in 26. Then they're blanking again in 27.
Yeah, so, they could double in 28 also, or 29, either one. So I mean, keep that in mind, like, when you're doing your whether you're on a free hit or not.
So it's a bit difficult to plan your Arsenal transfers. Whether like it's difficult for you to even triple up, like, unless you use a free hit somewhere. Yeah. So
yeah, what do you think? Who will you take? Okay, not without Martinelli, you think Saka is the obvious pick, no?
As a, yeah. So I had Martinelli down as my best asset. To own for Arsenal. He's cheap. He provides good value. Saka is also okay as an asset, right? But I think one player that you could look at that has zero rotation risk is Alexander Lacazette. He wasn't good this game against Wolves. There was two chances that he had that I thought he should have put away.
That's the same as the last game, right? Against Burnley, he had a good chance as well.
Yeah. So
how did Saka play?
It's quite frustrating to watch. Yeah, so Saka is solid, man. Like the way he moves with the ball is another level. It shows maturity beyond his age, man. Yeah, so Saka is I mean, after Martinelli, because he wouldn't be available, I think Saka is the next go-to guy for 26. If you want to attack game week 26 with an Arsenal asset. Yeah, but I think Lacazette is also a shout, because I think right now forward up options are not many to choose from, and I think he's definitely nailed, yeah, and he contributes a lot to how Arsenal attacks. Like, I mean, he might miss chances, but whenever there's goals, he's in and around the goals, you know. So I feel that he's quite a good asset to own still, despite his misses today, lah. Yeah.
Okay, for me, so that's it for Arsenal. For Wolves, like Ryan Anuri didn't start, so that, and also Johnny was on the bench also. So if you have him, I think you shouldn't bang on him, lah. But if you really have him and there's a double coming, I think you have no choice but to just play him and hope for the best. But I wouldn't buy him. I'll still go for Semedo if you want Wolves defensive cover.
Yeah.
How about size? Size okay?
Yeah, so I think Semedo is the best defensive cover for Wolves. I think he nailed the spot on the right. I think Size is the next best one. I think he provides attacking threat when it comes to corners. And I think if you want to go for the cheaper option, you can go for Max Kilman. Yeah.
How about this? This is another Portuguese player, Chiquinho. How many Portuguese they're building the next Portuguese feeder? How is this Chiquinho guy?
Yeah, actually, when he came on, he looked good. Right? He's quite
cheeky. Was he cheeky?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. There were a lot of cheeky challenges that he made also.
I saw him turning in out Tierney, right? So that's quite some doing. He's 22 years old, another Portuguese. Where did
I mean, for me, Wolves attacking assets don't
no go. Yeah, yeah. They're one the worst. Teams in.
Yeah, attacking wise, I mean, not so much that. I mean, players like Raul Jimenez won't score, or like Podence will score. It's just that these guys will only give you returns like once every 2-3 games. So you can't really expect consistent returns from them. And then Wolves midfield. They're scoring a lot of goals, but you just never know who's gonna come.
Wolves is a funny club. Like they are for XG for the whole season, right? They are fourth worst behind Newcastle, Norwich, and Burnley. But in terms of expected goals considered, right, they are the fifth best. So it's like either end of the spectrum in terms of attacking and defensive. It's quite weird, the team. So basically, attacking, you shouldn't touch anybody. And nobody is really nil except for Jimenez anyway. But yeah. Also, you want to move on to the next game?
Let's go to the next game this morning, which was Liverpool Leicester.
So I watched this game. So basically, Liverpool just dominated the game. So at no point in the game that I was worried that Leicester was scored. I mean, we were in control. VVD looked like as though he's back to his very best. Actually, like he was cruise control. Nothing. We had 22 shots against the 5 shots. Our XG 2.68 over. Versus 0.5. So we really dominated the game. 2-0 is a flattering, is really flattering for Leicester. And also Jota. Yeah.
Any thoughts on my man Matip?
He did well.
I'm not sure about that. He got the assist, but I mean I didn't watch the whole game. I watched the extended highlights. There was some instances where I felt that he could have defended better.
He started poorly, but he grew into the game. But after a while he looked good, yeah. And for Jota wise, he was actually very central. He played on the right wing, right? But he really took up positions in the middle. That's why he had two big chances and he scored. So yeah, that's what you get from him. But both goals were from set pieces. So Leicester also very poor defending set pieces.
Yeah, just a bit on Jota. Like I was watching him this week, and he's so difficult not to own. Like as a non-owner, I just feel very scared every time he plays. He's quick, he's snappy. As in like every time there's a rebound, he's always the first, quickest to pounce on it. Every time there's a second ball or he's always quick to pressure defenders. So it's just very
He really reminds me of a Robbie Fowler, very poacher type, good with both feet, really very clinical. I mean, could be more clinical. I mean, his XG is second only to Salah in the whole season. So he's really up there for his price, right? It's really one of the best bargains ever in recent memory in FPL, because he's really nailed, in my opinion. Not unlike all the other City assets like Mahrez and all. He could have good XG per 90, but this guy, he's really nailed and he's priced so well. You'll never get that again next season, I'm sure.
First of all, he won't be a midfielder. He'll
be forward,
and he won't be priced at 7.5 like he was at the start of the season.
Maybe 9 million forward. Maybe if he's first choice,
I think he'll be Firmino priced as a forward.
9.5, maybe even more. He's better than Firmino. His 12 goals this season only behind Salah. Catch Salah, in fact.
It's so frustrating to watch. Every time there's the first goal, right? Van Dijk hit the ball to the goal, right? And he's just he's there, he's there to turn it in,
Diaz, Surprisingly, he started and he really looked good. I mean, the first 5 to 10 minutes, right, there was a disconnect between him and Robo. But as the game went on, there was more interplay between him and Robo. He really looks good. I mean, he really looks like he's been playing in the team. He integrated to the team. So really looks good for a Liverpool perspective. He should have scored, actually. He had one big chance he missed, and then his stats were, he had a few shots on goal. And also Salah, right, he came on the 60th minute. He could have easily scored a hat-trick. He had 4 shots, 4 in the box, and he could even gotten a penalty. So as a Mo captain, I was really frustrating watch. I mean, on another day, he could have just got two. And then even one goal, I would have taken. But then somehow he... It was unlucky. More unlucky than bad finishing, in my opinion. So he's back. So for those who doesn't have him, I think we'll talk about this later. KDB to Salah, I think is a okay move, because I think KDB might be rested against Norwich as well. That's definitely a transfer that you should do.
That's my feeling also. Looking at Salah, I mean, there were comments about from Jurgen Klopp about how Salah is still affected by the FCON. But when I look at the game against Leicester, I don't know what Jurgen Klopp means. I mean, the guy is fit, firing on all cylinders still.
I expect money to come back for Diaz. So I don't think Diaz will be an option. And then Harvey Elliott came on and he played quite well. So he could be an option. I mean, not for FPL, for Liverpool-wise. Another creative outlet in for midfield.
Yeah, it seems like Liverpool has almost like their full team back, right? They have Javier Led back. And Luis Diaz looks impressive, right? You know, like I think he would be sharing minutes with Mane on that left side. Actually,
he will be the first to come off from the bench. So he could replace Jota as well. And Mane can play in the middle. Not only replace Mane, so it could be a rotation there for Jota as well.
I don't think there's any injuries that Liverpool's having right now, right? Thiago is back. Yes, Javier is back. Curtis Jones is back. Well, what do you think of Liverpool's fight for the title? Is there a chance there?
I think there's a slight chance. I think we win all our games in hand. I think, to be honest, City is not that impressive. Even against Brentford, I don't think they're that impressive. They just need to drop. If we beat Man City in Etihad, there'll be 3 points, right? I think 3 points is manageable. Because our squad looks pretty good now. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of which, Arsenal, nil, top four.
No. But I mean, top four contention.
Confident?
Definitely.
Confident?
Yes.
How confident are you?
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I'm not confident. I'm hopeful. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about the other game. The other top four contention. Burnley won. Man U won. All
right.
What do you think of this game?
Yeah. So I watched this one. Where do we start? It's been quite a while back. So the first thing we have to talk about is Ronaldo, right? Ronaldo didn't start. Basically. So Rangnick, in his interview, in his press conference, he mentioned about how he felt that Cavani was more suited for the game, right? And in my head, I'm thinking, how can one of the top 10 best players in world football, how can a manager say that of a player? You know, that shows how much.
Wait, you're talking about Ronaldo.
I'm talking about Ronaldo. Yeah.
So I don't think he's top 10 currently, Ronaldo.
In terms of Ballon d'Or last year, he was within the top 10, right? Right. So I'm thinking in my head, how can you say that a player that is top 10 in the world, right, be not suited for a game against Burnley, you know? Can you imagine Klopp ever saying I won't play Salah this week because he's not suited for the game? I mean, it just shows how much, like you said, how much Ronaldo has declined from where he was before, you know? Yeah, so,
or maybe Rani just doesn't know what he's talking about. That could be a reason too.
I feel that Man U assets, I'm starting to feel like this double game week 25 that's coming up is kind of a trap. But I think the best asset, I think the most nailed asset for these two game weeks would definitely be Bruno Fernandes.
Man U first half they dominated, right? And then second half they just capitulated. I didn't watch the game live, but Bruno was pretty involved, right? He 7 chances created, 4 shots and 1 in the box. I think his numbers-wise and eye test-wise, I think as a I'm going to captain him next game week. I mean, I'm very confident. I'm hoping for another repeat in the other game that week. As a non-Bruno owner, are you scared of him?
I'm not. Actually, to be honest, I'm not. I'm not. I feel that actually, even if you went for a Salah captaincy next game week, I think it would still...
You would
still
do that?
Still serve you well. I mean, I don't have Bruno. I have Ronaldo.
Ronaldo. I think the good thing about Ronaldo not starting, I think he will probably start the next 2 games. So Cavani had a very bad game. So actually not only for the double game, I mean in the short to long term, the short to medium term, I think Ronaldo will be starting. So I think Cavani didn't do well at all. I think Ronaldo will probably start in the near future. What do you think?
Owner? So I think Ronaldo definitely gets minutes in the next 2 game week.
The game, the double Southampton and Brighton, I actually see Man U scoring. I think those teams, they really will take the game to United. And I see United, they're not, Southampton and Brighton, they don't really sit deep, right? So I see the game, Man U getting chances. So I'm actually semi-scared of Ronaldo captain. So, but if you have to choose one, if somebody doesn't have any Ronaldo attacking United assets, who will you bring, Ronaldo or Bruno? Or Sancho, Rashford, Pogba?
I will go for someone cheaper, depending on what my team structure looks like.
But will you go for Rashford and captain him? You won't captain Rashford.
Actually, I will go for maybe Sancho. I think he's the most nailed outside of Bruno and Ronaldo.
I think if you don't have Ronaldo or Bruno, you'll go for Sancho instead.
Yeah, I think so.
But you won't captain him, right? Will you captain him?
I think I'll still captain him, actually, yeah. Yeah, I said no. It's hard for me to say, man. Like I
don't think he's nil. I don't think he's nil. What makes you think he's nil? That's Ilanga.
So I think the best thing is about Sancho is that he's the most flexible. He can play both left and right. Right.
Yeah. Rashford also can play both.
Rashford is playing
right at the moment, right?
At the moment, he's playing right, but he's actually better on the left. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean. Yeah, for me,
it's hard for me to answer the question. I just can't, if you don't have a Bruno or Ronaldo, I just can't see why you would want to bring in Bruno or Ronaldo just for 25. You know,
really?
Like,
why not? So you would just skip Man U. You ask them to just go for Salah instead, for example.
Yeah, I mean, get a defensive cover like De Gea or Varane, and that's it, man. Like, I wouldn't specifically bring them on for 25, right? Only for this game week. Right? I think if you don't have Salah in your team, right, and you don't have these two Man U players, then I'm not sure who's in your team. Like, basically, like, if you don't have any Man U players,
you could have like KDB, like Kane or something. KDB, you want to bring Sun, in a Man U. I still think you should bring in either Bruno or Ronaldo. My pick would be Bruno because he's definitely nil. You'll play 90 for both games.
Yeah.
I think Bruno is the one to go. And I'll captain him. I mean, I will be so formal if I don't have any Man United attacking assets. I think that would be too risky, in my opinion, to not go at all. Especially if KDB might not start against Norwich, right? And I mean, you can captain Salah for sure, but then you still need Man U cover. I think it's fine to bring in Bruno this game week if you don't have any United assets. Defensive assets, if you want to bring De Gea, that's my plan. I will come to it later on, but I think De Gea is fine as well. But like, I mean, I really think this double game is quite promising. I mean, I would even say, but I wouldn't double up on the attack. I mean, I listened to some pods this past few days, right? Some of the questions are asking whether they should double up on the attack. I wouldn't lah, but those are the legit questions. And then like late riser even said that he will go for a double up with Rashford, with Bruno and Rashford. So yeah, I mean, that's not an option for me lah. I mean, he said if you want to have like a cheeky differential, he actually recommended Rashford.
As a cheeky differential, I wouldn't go for Rashford. I mean, if you already have Ronaldo or Bruno, I think a cheeky differential would be Ilanga. I think he's cheap, like you can easily fit him in your team. So I will feel that Ilanga is the go-to guy. And
he looked good when he came on.
Yeah, so when you are getting Ilanga, you have to know that he maybe starts one game and he comes off the bat.
He's as good as a single game week fixture. Yeah, I know, so, but don't double on the attack. If you already have Bruno Ronaldo, make transfers for long term, like for 26, 27. Don't just keep your Ronaldo or Bruno and captain him. I'll captain Ronaldo also if I have him. If I have both Bruno and Ronaldo, I'll go for Bruno to captain. Who do you think is a better captain if you have both?
If you have both, well, why would anyone have both?
There is a lot. Really? Big Man Barca got both.
Really?
Ah. Yes. So, that's why I was listening to The Wire this morning, right? They were talking about this a lot. Big Man Barca actually he wanted to sell Ronaldo for Kane lah. I don't know what he wanted to do, but
yeah,
he has both Ronaldo. I mean,
maybe it came a time where he had more fires to put out, and maybe like he couldn't have made that move to Kane, and then like drawing closer to 25, it doesn't make sense for you to get these two guys out. Yeah, I'll still go for Ronaldo actually. Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
okay. I mean, I will go for Bruno.
Yeah.
Because of the minutes. And I think he's definitely more involved now. I think if you watch his game, I mean, talking about the back to the game, right? I mean, it was not like a 4-3-3, but the game still ran through Bruno. I mean, he was in the heart of the play. So I'm actually semi-confident of a Bruno captain. I do expect at least two returns over the two games. Yeah. How about Burnley?
Well, yeah. So I think that the main player to talk about is Vegas.
Workhorse.
Yeah, workhorse. I'm not sure how is it workhorse? Workhorse.
Yeah. Yeah, but how was he?
This guy looks good actually. I mean, you're talking about a Burnley side. So he as a striker for Burnley, you probably won't get many chances, especially against a Man U team. But this guy looks good. I think he's definitely better than Chris Wood.
Is he better than Peter Crouch?
No, man. Peter Crouch.
Peter
Crouch is, yeah. I think it's too early to tell. I mean, we haven't seen any bicycle kicks from Weghorst yet. Yeah. But a volley from him this game,
yeah,
came
that.
Close. It was really good. Like the technique he used for that goal got De Gea scrambling. And his close control also, like, if you see the goal that Jay Rodriguez scored, right? Wow. Like the way he turned, like, wow, this guy cost 12 million and the defender that he turned was 18 million. I didn't.
And
Man, you should be ashamed of that. Yeah,
but he does look good. Like, he does look good.
But I don't think that was like an accident. Like his close control is actually really good. Like even like the game against Watford, right? He actually, there was this passage of play where he rounded the Watford defender and he took a shot from there. Yeah. Like his close control is good. I mean, like he's not like a dumb striker that just runs around and
I mean, he scores like 20, 18, 19 goals in the Bundesliga. You have to be good, man. You have to be technically good. And you can see he really reminds me of Crouch, actually, technically. Yeah. Tall guy. I kind of regret buying Edouard now. I should have just bought him in instead of Edouard.
Yeah, I mean, good.
I feel like he's got like the talisman quality in him. He could be like, there's a potential to be a talisman. Yeah. I mean, he's the main guy. And also because Kone, I think now he's playing wider now. So
yeah.
What do you think of Kone?
Yeah, so yeah, I'm not sure why Dijk made a decision. I think it has to do with the right wing position, actually. Because I think there's no one in Burnley that can play on the right wing. Because of that, Dwight McNeil gets pushed over to the right wing, Kone gets pulled to the left wing, and they play two strikers up front. So I don't really like the look of Jay Rodriguez and Weghorst up front. I prefer a more dynamic pairing of Kone. Well,
but Jay Rodriguez looked quite good, though.
No, I think I don't think so. I mean, that goal was well taken. Yes, I feel so. But I mean, if Kone was in that position, I think Kone would have scored that goal as well. Yeah, I didn't think that Jay Rodriguez provided anything different from what Weghorst did. Nah. I think they are two quite similar players. Nah. Ashley Barnes also came on towards the end of the game.
Actually, I'm looking at the bench, right? There are normal wingers, Goodmanson, Hendricks, Jeff Hendricks. I think they're not on the bench. So I think they are probably injured or something. Maybe when they are back, maybe they will probably play. And then Cornet will go back up top. That's what you think will happen?
Yeah.
You don't think Jay Rodriguez, 5.2 million, will retain his spot?
I don't think Rodriguez will retain his spot. I wouldn't want him to retain the spot. I don't know. I feel like Cornet will provide something different up front.
So double, of course, Burnley double, right? 26, 27. So if Kone really plays up front, I think Kone is the one to go for, right?
Right. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, definitely, yes. So Kone and Weghorst are the two guys you should consider for Burnley. No other attacking assets. No Jay Rodriguez. No Ashley Barnes. Just don't look there, basically.
NC5, yeah. You want to talk about the defensive assets?
Defensive assets. It's a bit difficult, I think, at the moment. Charlie Taylor, I think, was back, right, this game. I can't remember. Was he back?
No.
Eric Peters was still playing, yeah.
He's not on the bench as well.
He's not on the bench still. So I think he's still out injured. But Connor Roberts retained his place over Loughton. So I think that's what one to look out for. But, I mean, Burnley is going to play four fixtures in quick succession, right? So it's a bit difficult for you to get someone like Connor Roberts in. So if you want to get a Burnley defender, the best is either me or Tarkowski. But between me and Tarkowski, because they are same price, you should just go for Tarkowski, right? Pope, it's difficult to justify the price is at now. He said 5.5, right? It's kind of a luxury move your keeper if you don't have Pope, unless you're on a wild card or something like that, or on a free hit, then maybe Pope is one to consider. But if you have no... if your keeper is set for the next few game weeks, I don't see why you bring in Pope in your team.
Yeah, so for me, I'm definitely at give me 27, right? I don't want to play my free, so, and I have to sell Ben Johnson. I would definitely buy a Burnley defender. They play Crystal Palace and Leicester. Those two teams are very bad at defending set pieces. So for me or Tarkowski will be the option. I mean, I will look through their stats before I buy them. I'll buy the one with the better stats lah. I mean, that's what I'll do before giving 27. But yeah, I think Tarkowski or me. I think Connor Roberts could still be a rotation risk, and you never know lah. Agreed. Although he's cheaper, but I'll still go for the Ben Mee or Tarkowski. Yeah, that's about it. Anything else to add?
Nope, nothing else to add for this one.
So yeah, no, talk about Spurs. Spurs, Southampton.
Yeah, sure. Let's go ahead.
So crazy game. I think really Southampton, at the end of the day, despite the fact that Spurs was 2-1 up at the 70 minutes, right, I think Southampton deserved the win. I mean, even...
Surely, yeah.
They had like 23 attempts versus 8. That's really domination at Spurs Stadium away some more. So yeah, in terms of how they set up, they played their 4-2-2-2. I mean, Perro at left back is quite impressive actually, and Kyle Walker-Peters is also played quite well. So if you have Livermento, I don't know whether he gets his spot back immediately. I'll be quite worried if I still have Livermento. But Broha, he missed one big chance, even though he scored one of his chances, but that wasn't a big chance. He missed another big chance. He had 4 shots in total. He really did well. I mean, he could have easily scored more than one, that's for sure. And also JWP, yeah. I mean, okay, so for double game weeks, right, they are due to play Newcastle next. I mean, that's the unscheduled game lah. So when they have a double game with Newcastle, remind me to buy JWP again. I'll double up JWP and Proha for sure. He's a perfect double game player.
I don't know about JWP. JWP is just like I said. I mean, I always look at FPL history, and James Ward-Prowse, he's been playing in the Southampton team for the longest time, and he just doesn't get I say this knowing the fact that he actually in the last 7 games, right, he got 57 points, right? So that's an average of 8.17 points per game in the last 7 game weeks for James Ward-Prowse. Yeah, but for me, I just can't see myself bringing him in. Like I
double
I
game week, man. He's nailed double game week. I think it's fine.
He's on corners. He's on free
everything.
Kicks.
He's on everything. Yeah. He's on everything. He's on everything. Except for throw-ins and goal kicks.
Who's the penalty taker? James Ward-Prowse.
Him. Well. Yeah, he's on everything. I mean, double game week, nailed minutes. He and Broha are probably against Newcastle. That's one of the fixtures as well. That plays a part as well. So I'll really remind me again when they have a double game week.
Traditionally, he isn't a very consistent FPL performer.
Yeah, he's not like he's like a double game week. He's a perfect double game player. Other than that, I will never buy him.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on Southampton before we go on to Spurs?
No. Just Broha is best. That's all.
For Spurs, as a reggae owner, right, regular owner, I mean, really, he just left points. He left points on the field. I mean, he had one big chance. He created one big chance for Kane. I don't know how Kane missed that chance. So like, he could easily had one goal and one assist, and he was super advanced. Royal wasn't that advanced. No, I don't think they played like a 3-4-3. I mean, Reguilon plays like almost more advanced than Winger. I don't know. I mean, he was super advanced. But yeah, I mean, the Spurs were shocking. Like, the defending was shocking. I mean. But then, I mean, I wouldn't blame Conte. I mean, it's all individual errors in my opinion. So, it's not really the system.
Basically, yeah. Spurs has 3 Mustafis as a centre backs.
No, Romero played well, bro. Romero played well.
I haven't really watched.
I mean, maybe not defensive-wise, but in terms of attacking, the way he bring out the ball, his passes, he played well. But the goals came from Ben Davies and Emerson Royal mistakes. I mean... It could easily be avoided lah.
I don't know. Like, it's the carbon copy. The last 2 Southampton goals is that almost exactly crazy, the same position where James Ward-Prowse played the ball. And the centre backs, the defenders, I don't know. Like, did they not know how to jump or something? Like, they just look so static. Like the Southampton players had like so much space to get their shot in and their header in. Not sure like what they were doing there basically. Like, I think Conte has a handful to set up a good defense like the players that he have, especially.
I still think it's fine. I mean, I still think they are favorites for the top 4. I mean, this kind of is poor defending, but I think it's more the personnel wise, the lapses, the defensive lapses more than the system. So I think I mean, for me, the midfield also was a problem. Wings and Hoiberg, I think they were outplayed by JWP.
Yeah, you use this term, Romeo. Defensive lapses. And I think that's one term that you can easily describe Arsenal's defense in the past, you know, right? Like, actually, to be honest, like I mentioned Mustafi, right? I mentioned him in jest, but he's actually Mustafi, right? If you look at him, right, he's not really a bad defender, right? If you look at the stats that he has, if you look at like Mustafi's highlights on YouTube, he's actually a good defender, you know. Like, but there's just two terms that you use here: defensive lapses, and as a defender, I think those are the not making defensive errors is a very crucial part of your game. To minimize it to zero, essentially every game is a yes. crucial
for
part
me,
of the thing.
For me, I will categorize Mustafi in the same category as Dejan Lovren. Dejan Lovren,
Davinson Sanchez.
Okay, he also and also Tyron Mings. We'll talk about him later. He's basically like, I mean, they look good. They are good in the air. They can one-on-one defending. They are decent, but then like in terms of concentration and all that, they are very bad. I'm so annoyed at Lovren.
There's this thing. So basically, like when you are one-on-one defending, right? When you're one-on-one defending, you are starting, right? The player is against you, right? Like you can either choose to go for the tackle, or you like just wait and like wait for the attacker to make the next
correct,
move
correct.
And then you defend afterwards. Now. So if you go for the tackle when you're starting, right? So sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And if you lose, right, you're actually letting the player advance. Like, you know? So like if you have like high tackle numbers, right, like Mustafi has, right, it's not so much because he's like good tackler. It's just that he attempts more tackles. Yeah. So
defending overall is about positioning, anticipation, and decision making.
Right.
That's why VVD is the best. Like, we can go about this longer, but we do it another time. Let's move on. We're running quite long. I mean, Sun, I don't know how Sun goes too. I mean, it was an obvious foul on Broha. I mean, he got lucky. Good goal, though. But I'm okay with Kane and Sun. I think they look okay. I mean, for Spurs success in 26, right? I will still go for Kane or Sun. What do you think?
Kane or Sun is definitely
either one. For me, Bruno to Sun in 26 is a nil move. I'll do it for a hit even. I mean, they play City, but I don't mind. I think Sun against City could easily score. I mean, I have no worries there. Yeah. But they still, attacking wise, they look all right.
When you're buying Tottenham fixtures for this next three game weeks, right? Basically, I mean, this is the kind of the hot topic for this week, I guess. When we are going through these games, we are also talking about our strategies for the next three game weeks, right? So, when you look at Spurs fixtures in 26, they play Man City,
Burnley,
but actually in 27. They have a good fixture also. Actually, they have fixture
They have Leeds and then Everton and Man U. That's three good fixtures actually.
Yeah, so basically if you're getting them in for 26, you're not just getting them in for one game week, you're getting them for the next two or three game weeks. So actually it isn't a bad move to get Son or Kane in if you don't have them.
Actually, I foresee a Kane and Son like burst into goals. I think they'll be like their EOs will be high. I mean, they'll be a standard buy in like similar to early last season. That's my feeling. I think it's good to get either one of them in case they just go crazy, which I think they would. Yeah, let's go through one last game before we go through our teams. Villa against Leeds. So what do you think of the game?
So as a Rafinha and a Watkins owner watching this game, right? It's so disappointing to see a 6-goal thriller having
crazy.
One. I would say like the attackers. I have both attackers. Like I have Watkins and Rafinha from each side, but they have zero attacking returns at all.
That's harsh. That is harsh.
It's quite disappointing.
To be fair, if you watch the game, they didn't look anywhere close to a return as well. To be
right.
fair.
So yeah, whenever I watch games, I tend to focus a lot on the players that I have. Like I want to see what they were doing. And when I look at Watkins, right. Watkins, so I was listening to the FPL Banger podcast and they really hate Watkins. They think that Watkins is not a good player. But I feel like I think it's a bit harsh on Watkins. But I think like how I speak about Antonio, I think Watkins is a similar player. I think his off the ball running is really good. He acts as a decoy in that system, basically. If you watch, I think this is the most obvious in the third goal that he scored, right? Right, if you notice, like Watkins ran across and he basically pulled all the defenders, giving Coutinho space to play the ball to Ramsey. Yeah. And I think it didn't look as obvious in the second goal. So actually, in the second goal, Watkins was on the right, right, and then the centre halves for Leeds, right? They were slowly turning towards Watkins, basically. So there was one centre half that was with Watkins, and the other centre half he was actually shaping up to cover for that pass to Watkins. Right. So because
this was the cross by Cash, right?
No. This is the second goal. The first Ramsey goal, basically.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So if you look, it's a beautiful pass by Coutinho. I mean, like there's no doubt about it. I mean, to be able to have that eye for the pass is just amazing, you know, right? But then I do think that Watkins contributed in that goal as well, because he actually pulled the second center half, like when the position of the guy, he was really shaping up to cover Watkins already, and that left space for Ramsey to run and give space for
Watkins to make his pass.
So it's all three goals, like, basically. The attackers have a lot more space with Watkins running. So Watkins does contribute to the game, but not in the FPL way that we want him to. So it's quite, it's not great as a Watkins owner. I don't think that he's...
Okay. So for me, remember last part, we rank our top three Villa assets, Digne, Buendia and Watkins. None of them return. And also that game in particular, Coutinho actually had a bad game. So for me, this game, right, I know Coutinho had scored 16 points, Ramsey scored 14, but that's crazy, the point they got. But then I feel like when they play Everton, right, that's more like the Villa that we should expect. This is just the Leeds game. The fact that Leeds defensive was all over the place, that's why they had so much space. I don't think in normal games it will be like this. So I wouldn't take much into account, Coutinho. I mean, Coutinho is good, of course, but I feel like Villa is like City, like, you know, there are a lot of assets. Right. And you have to choose the right one. So it's a bit difficult. I wouldn't say right now I'll go for Coutinho ahead of Buendia, because Coutinho did play badly against Everton and Buendia was the better player. So it's really hard to choose. I mean, I'll hold on to Watkins. I think Watkins is fine. You have him, you hold him. Mm. Buendia as well. But to buy one, it's very hard to choose. It's a bit like City. What do you think?
Yeah. They'll take turns in terms of attacking returns. It's not going to be a case where it's going to be just Coutinho consistently returning.
Yeah, for me, if that's the case, right, you should just get Ramsey 4.6 million and just play him every week because he's the cheapest.
Yeah.
14 points there. Yeah, crazy.
I think if you get Ramsey, right, Ramsey is going to be another broja in your team. Right?
Yeah, but you have to play him. That's the thing. That's what I say. You have to put him as your fourth midfielder. Brownhill is your fifth midfielder. He's your fourth midfielder. Don't bench him. But unless
if you have Broja, you have Ramsey, then you have so many of these players, and then
Play three at the back. And play three at the back. Bench your two defenders and Brownhill. Yeah, but then James finally looked like a proper footballer after so long. Because of Tyrone Mings. Tyrone Mings. How many did you see how bad Mings play in that game? I mean, come on.
I've been talking about Dan James. Dan James, I wouldn't say he's a good footballer. I mean, he just runs a lot. He just runs a lot. And
this game, he actually looked like a proper Premier League footballer for once. But
OP. I think the contribution he has in the team, he just runs a lot. I think it's just bound to happen. Like he'll pressure players, he'll run his way into goals line, and that happened this game week. But this is not an option for me at all, because
still Rafinha, right? Still Rafinha.
And also in the double he plays against Manu. He's loaned out to Manu, right? He's loaned out from Manu, right? He's not sold, right? Yeah. So
No, he's sold. They bought him already.
Oh, has
20, it? Yeah, they bought him 20 million. Okay.
Right. So he's doubling, basically.
I think Rafinha is due hauler. He means yeah. In the world.
So I think if you're Rafinha owner, you shouldn't be too worried. His stats didn't look good against Villa, but I think he's still the best Leeds asset to own.
Oh yeah, could we quickly move on to the hot topic? Why don't you start?
Yeah, I think we've kind of covered most of it already. Basically, we just talk about the strategies that we have for the next game week, players to look out for, basically. Yeah. Is there, so for me, besides any of the guys that we talked about, is there any guys that...
I think, just give an advice, a rough have a rough cheap plan from now until end of the season, like just a rough plan, and then work your transfers around it lah, based on your team. So you want to make a transfer now based on your cheap plan. I think that's very important lah. I mean, looking ahead after 27 and all the way to 38, you should roughly know what when you're going to use your chips, but remain flexible lah. Yep. I mean, there's more, but there's a lot of ways to, there's more than one way to skin a cat lah. But yep, don't do it like Zuma lah.
Nice how you slide that in, bro.
Yeah. Don't, appalling behavior by Zuma. I mean, he's a religious, you know, he went pilgrimage with Pogba. So he went to, yeah, he was in Mecca with Pogba. I mean, he was pictured there. I mean, he's supposed to be a religious man. The fact that he does this is quite appalling.
Even sure why like the video is being circulated around. Like who is taking the video? And like
the brother,
why are they posting it like around? Like it's just needless, like, you know, needless.
Yeah. Okay, let's before we move on to the teams. Next midweek is Champions League. Do you play Champions League fantasy?
No, I don't. Do you?
Okay. Yeah, I do actually. Now it's like unlimited transfers.
Quickly touch on the chip strategy, right? I think 26 okay. is definitely a triple captain option lah for Salah. Okay. For 27, actually, what I'm planning to do, right, is I'm going to see what my best team is for 27. Then I'm going to make a free hit team and see whether it's worth taking that free hit or not. Yeah, because okay. there'll be a lot of players that will be unavailable in my team lah. We have Salah, we have Alexander-Arnold, we have Joel Martin.
So you might use that free hit in 27.
I might use that free hit in the 27 depending on what team I can build in 27 and whether it's much better than the team I currently have. Yeah.
30?
So 30, again, I think I'll apply the same logic lah to see like what's my best.
So you're still
but I think planning towards the game week, I will still plan with players in 27 and 30 in mind lah. So if I can get maybe possibly players in 27 and 30 in my team, there are good players. As in, I don't want to just bring them for that 27 and 30, but just leading up to 27 and 30, if they have good fixtures and they also play 27, it's my consideration. Yeah, so that's
the strategy that I have. How about longer term bench boost and wildcard?
For that, I'm not so sure. I think you mentioned bench boost 36, right? 36 is the biggest one, right? So and wildcard before 36, right? So maybe two games before, or three game weeks before, you can do that.
Yeah. So for me, I have more like I will try my best to don't use a free hit on 27. But if I really need to use, I will use. But I probably won't. Then free hit 30 and 33, and then wildcard before 36 for my bench boost. That's my plan. Yeah. Should we quickly move to your team now for next week?
Yeah. Let's go.
You start first.
All right. So looking at my team now, how it's set up at the moment is I'm setting up with five at the back, actually. So I've got Ramsdale, who's out. So I've got Pickford coming in. I'm still not sure what he's doing in my team. So, but Pickford has a kind of a good fixture against Leeds at home. Right, so he's quite a good stand-in for Ramsdale this week. Okay. So I have five at the back, Dalot, Cancelo, Joel Matip, Tariq Lamptey, who has a double, and Alexander-Arnold. Right. And then in my midfield, I have Bowen, De Bruyne, Rafinha. And up front, I have Watkins and Ronaldo, who's currently holding the captaincy. He has two fixtures to be played. So on my bench, actually, I have Madison, who has West Ham at home, King, who have Brighton at home, and Brownhill, who have Liverpool at home. So
how many transfers you got?
I got one transfer this week. And I have just enough to go from De Bruyne to Salah. And just nice, exactly. So I'm actually thinking of making that early move because as soon as the next before 9:30 a.m. in Singapore time to make sure that I get that Salah move lah, basically. Yeah, I think De Bruyne has Norwich away, Salah has Burnley away. I think Burnley away is a difficult fixture. Actually, Salah blanked in the reverse fixture at home, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, correct.
Actually, Burnley did look all right in that game against Liverpool. I think they were actually quite solid.
You still do it? You still do the move?
So I think I'll still do the move after what I saw this week, right? Salah coming on for that 30 minutes cameo, right? And he looks lively. He has the second highest XG after Jota in the game, right? Just coming on 30 minutes. And that's crazy, you know. And then I look at De Bruyne, and I know he's really involved in the Man City team. Any returns that you get from De Bruyne, it's immediately almost a return plus bonus points. Yeah, but looking at how deep he plays, and with that idea that he has maybe a rotation risk against Norwich away, I think I would probably go for Salah just to make that move. So I think that's for me. The whole reason why I went for Matip in the last game week was that I can afford Salah this week. You know, like I next week I can downgrade someone with a free transfer and get Salah easily. But the whole reason is because I want to this De Bruyne to Salah move in one transfer. I think that's the most probably that's the transfer that I'm gonna make.
I think it'll be scary to sell KDB for sure. But I think since you did that Matip move, right, that was your plan. I think you should just follow through. So then next game week, what's your plan? Ronaldo to Kane, right? That should be in the cards, right?
I haven't thought about it. Actually, I had in mind Madison to Martinelli, but now Martinelli is not.
Saka?
So I'm actually looking at maybe Ronaldo to Lacazette, to be honest with you. Yeah. I still have to think about the game week 27. I'll review my team again and see.
Let's quickly go to my team. Okay, so currently, I have two free transfers, so I'll just tell you my team right now. I haven't made my transfers. Bachmann, I have no goalkeeper, which the transfer I'll be making. I have Bachmann and Ramsdale, so Bachmann doesn't start. And I will set up in a 4-4-2, Reguilón, Trent, Cancelo, and Lamptey with a double. Then Jota, Bowen, Bruno, captain, Salah, Vice, Broha, and Edward. My bench is King, Johnson, and Saka, who doesn't have a game. So Broha over King, right? That's an obvious way to go, right? Start Broha.
I'm not sure, man. So, Broha is a player that every time you have him in your team, first 11, and he won't score. Every time he's on the bench, he will score. So
talk about Watford, but King didn't look impressive, so I mean Broha looked impressive. So I'll just go on form, I mean Brighton and Man U. I think Brighton has a better defense as well. So I think I'm going for the right fixture. So on top of form, and then so my transfers will be. I have two free transfers, so I'm just doing one. Bachmann to De Gea. That's an easy, obvious move in my opinion.
So the reason why you have to explain the reason why you're doing this,
So basically, I have Ramsdale, right? So basically, I will have double De Gea this game week, and then next game week, I will have double Ramsdale. So just double, that's one reason.
So your keeper and rotation is a double, basically. Yeah.
Yes, and then Arsenal will hopefully double again after that. So, yeah. And then my next, I really have planned transfers. So my next game week, my obvious transfer is Bruno to Sun. So just one transfer, so I'll roll again. And then in game week 27, right, I will have four players who don't play. Trent, Jota, Saka, and Salah. So I have to sell Johnson, because I need him the spot to play, right? So I'll probably sell Johnston to Burnley defender, Tarkowski or me in 27. And then the other one, I don't know whether I should sell Jota for Kone, because I'll have two free transfers, right? Well, what do you think, 27? I mean, it's quite long ago. I mean, if I do Jota to Kone, I don't know whether I will captain him in a double. My other option is Sun against Leeds. But yeah, we will see how.
I can't believe that you are moving from Jota, man. As a person has been telling me week after week, Jota.
But he does blank. No, but the thing is, it's either Jota or Saka to sell. So Saka has a better fixture after that 28. That's why I choose Jota. But yeah, we'll see how. I might just give him and play 10 men in 27. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an option also, man. Jota is scary.
But he blanks bro. So yeah, I can't really bring him in again.
Don't tell me you're gonna transfer him out and then possible. Transfer him in.
No, let's say I attack Kone, right, the double game. Because actually Burnley, Crystal Palace and Leicester is quite a good double. I just attack that. Then 29 Liverpool double again. Because then I can just easily bring Jota. 30 they might blank also at Liverpool. So if the 28, 29 they don't have single, I think it's fine going without Jota for two games.
And you'll be losing so much value on Jota, man.
Nah, value is fine. Value, I don't really care for now. I'll attack the points.
But it's 0.5 million loss. So if you got Jota at 7.5, it's 8.5 now. So you're basically losing 0.5.
I know, but I don't really. I think if I really think Kone is playing up front, right, in a double game week, and it's a free transfer, and Jota doesn't play and I need that spot to play to complete 11 players. I think it's fine. I don't mind selling Jota. I mean, if you see how, we see how. I mean, that's about it. Should we? I mean, we'll report next week on Wednesday after the conclusion of Man U Brighton. That's the last, the midweek game, right? There'll still be 10 games because Chelsea blank still. So we'll report on Wednesday. So yeah, you want to take us out?
Right, yeah, sure. Let's end it here, man. If you're still with us at this stage, thank you for taking your time out to listen to us chat. Do follow us on Twitter at FPL Kopi Talks for more of our content. That is FPLKOPITALKS. And feel free to interact with us on that space. I'm ABK.
And I'm Lukman. Hope you enjoyed the pod as much as I did with you. We are FPL Kopi Talks signing out.